Wow, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. The worship team, you can... Lord, I thank you for your word that's about to come forth, God. And Lord, I need you right now to come and fill me with your spirit. And I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you are here. There's no doubt in my mind. We don't have to wonder this morning whether he's here, because he's here. And God, your word says that your word will accomplish its intended purpose, that it waters the earth and it waters our hearts. So, Lord, I just thank you this morning for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think it's interesting. You know, I think many times in our life we wonder, where is God? And is he working? Or what's going on? Because you think sometimes, or we think, that we're in the worst possible mess that we could be in. And then we know the word. It says that all things work together for good. But you wonder, what could possibly be good about the situation that I'm in right now? Or you have been in. Or you're going to be in. Now, the Sunday before we left, the Lord dropped a word in my heart, and I only have one word. God gives me one word, and it can last for several months. It's just the way he works with me. And it's for right now to pray through, which is my responsibility, that I pray through what he's shown me, and then I wait for it to come. I wait for it to happen. It's just how he uses me. And before we left for South Dakota, he dropped a word in my spirit for specifically the youth, but he had used it for wherever the opportunity came. And I never know when that is, kind of like this morning. But when he tells me that it's time, and he just kind of kicks me out there, and I need to bring forth what he said. And so I believe this morning that it's for us, that it was for them in South Dakota. It was for Fountain, because many of Fountain's people were touched by it. But it's for us too. And most of it comes from Exodus chapter 4, which it's interesting because I don't know that I shared this with you guys, but before Daniel came, I had a dream, and I saw Daniel standing in our pulpit, and I heard the Lord say Exodus chapter 4. So I knew that I ought to read it. And he had given me this passage before, many, many years ago, and I never exactly knew what he was trying to say. But what I feel like God is saying this morning, that he's calling us to our purpose. He's calling you to the very thing that he's created you to be. And you need to understand that from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, there is a purpose for you. And that God has put seeds inside of you. And sometimes we get those seeds by responding to God, by responding to calls from the word being spoken, from responding to what the Holy Spirit says to us in our prayer time. And we have a quickening that comes about in our spirit. And I want to explain to you that is how God speaks from time to time, that there'll just be a time where you'll just feel like this shroud come over you, and something is turning in your mind, and it's like, where did that come from? And God is quickening you, and he's drawing you. And there are things that each of you have to do and to accomplish in your life. And it doesn't matter if you're a few months old or whether you're in your 80s or 90s or hundreds. It's never too late. Stop thinking that it's time for it to kick back and let other people. I know that these older, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but there is a protocol and an honor that comes in a generation and the linking of those generations and what they've plowed into and what they've sowed into in their life. And there, it demands the honor and respect of the generations coming up behind them. It's interesting how important that is to Native Americans, that Gabriel would demand the respect of the children or the kids when he was speaking to them. He would say, look here, look at me when I'm speaking to you. That's what he would say to them. And those kids would, it's cultural. I think it's a good idea. Myself, older people have much wisdom to impart. They've lived a lot. Sit down and talk with Don and Helen sometime, and better bring a lunch. Or Shirley, or my mom, or, you know, they have much to impart. We need to listen to them. But God had showed me, he was reflecting about the life of Moses, and I had to check my notes to see what I wrote at the last time, last Sunday I was here, and I wrote, faith requires action. And that's the point of this whole passage. You know, Moses was set apart from the time he was conceived. But if you think about his life, when Pharaoh released the death sentence on all the two-year-olds that they were to be killed, because ultimately it was the devil, it was the Antichrist spirit working in Pharaoh that wanted to kill anything that was going to come out and overthrow him. So the devil plants seeds of destruction in people to try to kill off what God's going to raise up. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what happens to a life when they start to begin to realize that I have purpose and I have something to give and God has given me a purpose? And when you start stepping into that, the devil wants to snuff you out. And everything from the generations behind you and every familiar spirit and every person that will allow the devil to use them will come down on you like a ton and try to snuff you out and try to shut you up. But you got to know that this is the process. This is when we come out of religion and into the life of the Spirit. This is the time when we step in and say, yes, God, I'm ready to die. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. I'm ready to lay down my life. And that is your life. That is the fire on the altar of your heart burning for God. And that's what Moses had to find out. And God was taking Moses out of the place of bondage and living in the lifestyle of Pharaoh. Every part about it was evil, but he had everything he needed. He was blessed beyond measure. He was put in the courts of Pharaoh and held a high position. But when God came and called his life out and called him to deliver a nation, and it even says in Exodus chapter 4 that, let my son go that he may serve me. He was talking about Jesus, because Jesus was coming from that line. He was coming from that nation, and God was bringing him out. I don't know how the devil knows that, but he thought he would just try to kill them all at the age of 2. And then it happened again in the New Testament. They did it again. Whenever there's that threat of that Messiah coming, the devil just unleashes a horrible wicked plot to destroy it. Could we be coming into that season again in America? I think we are. But one thing you got to hear me. I'm not a gloom and doomer. I'm telling you that all of you sitting before me have a place that God is taking you. Till the day you breathe your last, he has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. And I'm challenging you this morning. Will you take it? Will you step into it? That is the call that was for the youth. That God has a plan for you. And a lot of times people will come and tell them stories of the Bible and they're all good. But they don't know how to get there. They don't know how do I step in? How do I step into this place in my life? How do I get that power? And how do I lay my hands on the sick and they recover? How do I prophesy in the name of Jesus? And how do I know the secrets of men's hearts? First of all, you need to believe God. If you remember, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. It was required of him to believe, and he was tested to the point of offering his own son. And God knew that Abraham was his servant because he would give everything that was the most important things that he would give over because he loved God and he obeyed him. That's what happened to Moses, and God called him out. And he said, I'm gonna have you deliver a people. And if you remember, God gave Moses a staff. And the first thing he did, which he doesn't have to do, is he proved that he was with Moses. And if you remember, he told him to throw the staff on the ground. And he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. Most of you probably remember this story. And he said, pick it up. How many of you know what happens when you pick up a snake by the tail? You're going to get bit. Even if it's not poisonous, the darn thing just whips around, and I know I've done it. But not based on that passage. I was just a kid. We're not snake handlers here. But when he picked it up, it became the rod of God in his hand. And God proved to Moses that I can handle your fear. I can deal with it. And the second thing he did was he put his hand in his bosom, it says, and he took it out and it was leprous like snow. And he put it in again and pulled it out and it was healed. And God wants you to know that he can handle your diseases and he can handle your wounds of your heart. And the third thing he told him was to take some water from the river and pour it on dry ground, and it became blood. And I asked the Lord, well, what does that mean? What is the water and the blood? And then if you know that Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and when they pierced his side, the water sprayed out. And it says in Ephesians that having been washed with water by the word, and the word was Jesus. And all of these things come to pass because of the shed blood of Christ. That was the rod of God in Moses' hand. Do you know what I'm saying? That was a type and shadow of what was to come. And he was asking Moses to trust me. And do you remember all the excuses? Moses said, I can't speak well. I can't do this. Well, send somebody else, but don't send me. He was afraid. He was wounded. And he wasn't real sure about the power of God. But God proved to him in every single way that I'm with you. And I'm able to do everything I ask you to do. Most of you have heard the saying, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. But there's a requirement, and I know it's really neat because I watch a lot of you, and there's some fears to step out in your gifting. I know, I'm one of them. But when you do it, he empowers you, and he responds to your faith. And that's what he needed Moses to do. He needed him to respond to what he was telling him. Are there things that God has told you that you haven't responded to? Are there fears in your heart? Are there wounds? Are there barriers? Are there things that is keeping you from stepping into that? Because then it goes on to say that the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. But you got to know, In my mind, I don't think God was up there ticked off and stomping his foot and thinking, what a jerk Moses is. God was saying, son, I want to take you to a place that you have no idea. You have no idea my love for you, and you have no idea the power that resides inside of you, because it's me. It's all me, says God. And when you put those things aside in your life of your limitations, especially wounds, man, offenses, you got to let that go. And you know what? I know you've heard that before. Well, what do you mean, let it go? Sometimes that ticks me off when people say that. You got to let that go. Oh, I'm trying. It's a life of surrender before God. And it's a refusal to align with offenses. It's a refusal to align with unforgiveness. It's a refusal to align with what I lack. Because it's a lie. All of it is. The Word of God says that He provides for us out of the riches of His glory. The Word of God says that there is an anointing within you. The Word of God says that we'll heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, we'll speak in new tongues. It's in there. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. It's a command. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can you do something that you're commanded to do when you don't have the power to do it? It's a lie, we believe. Because we do have the power. But it's a place of surrender. It's a place of yielding to God. It's a place of saying, God, I'm sick and tired of being offended. I refuse to align with it. I refuse to be afraid. It's not who I am. See, God is working behind the scenes. When Moses was rescued from the river, how could he possibly have known as he was growing up in Pharaoh's court that God had a plan that he was going to deliver a nation? He was teaching Moses to live in a place of royalty, a place of having everything in the physical, but he was going to transfer it to having everything in the supernatural, in the spiritual. And he was training him. But when it came time, he had to let go of all of that and step into the spiritual aspect of God's going to empower him to do it all. And I'm going to call you into a place that is absolutely impossible for you to do without me. And if you're pursuing something in your life that you can do without God, you need to redirect your life this morning. And you need to say yes to God. Because the call on your life requires the power of God. You cannot accomplish what you're called to do without His power in your life. And there needs to be agreement. There needs to be a time of stepping out in faith and saying yes to God. God gave Moses three things to do, and he did every one of them, and he was still afraid. But that's not the point. God will deal with everything in our life little by little. And it says in the Word of God that He didn't give them the promised land all at once because it was too great for them. Little by little, it says, they took the promised land. Little by little, God establishes Himself in your heart until you're completely His. You got to know that He's working. You got to know that you haven't missed it. That you're not too far gone. That God can't pick you up and set you straight again. I think one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that I've screwed up. You know what? I've screwed up so many times that there's just no way I'm going to get there. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't lose what you've gained with God. You don't lose if you were doing really good for a couple of years or many, many years, and then all of a sudden you fell off the wagon. It doesn't matter. Step back up. You don't lose ground with God. And you got to know He's not afraid of your sin. If He was, He couldn't have came to the earth because He dwelled among us. He dwelt with a bunch of sinners because He released the love of the Father. Are you able to see that in other people? Are you able to see what God's called them to be? Or are you focused on their how shortcomings. See, God wasn't focused on what Moses couldn't do. Because God sees us for that perfect thing that He's created us to be, and that never changes. You got to know that never changes with God. You're not washed up. You're not too far gone. And He's not fixing you up. He's not fixing you up. He's establishing His righteousness in you. What it requires is agreement. And this is what we told the kids, that it just requires to say yes to God. What would you have me do? And 2/3 of those kids lined up for prayer, and the power of God fell. They need to know that there's something more than works and trying to get out of this hellhole that I live in. They need something supernatural and something beyond them. And a lot of seeds were planted that day. And what I mean by that is God puts something in you. And as you spend time in His presence, He cultivates that. And the Spirit of God waters that purpose. And He waters it and He waters it. And pretty soon the shoot comes up through the ground. And it begins to take form. And then the purpose begins to come out. And as you learn to practice the giftings that God has given you, don't think that you can start out prophesying fire. Because it doesn't normally happen that way. You have to cultivate that. You have to press into that. You got to start little by little speaking, "Well, I think God's saying this." I'm watching Luke do that. But don't mind if I point you out. But he's hearing things and he's getting something. And he knows it isn't him. And he steps forward and he does it. And it blesses people. That's what this church is called to do. We're not called to come on Sunday and just fill a pew. This church has a calling. You're not here by accident. I mean it when I tell you, you're the most amazing group of people ever. You have no idea. You have no idea the battle. You have no idea. And I don't mean that to be condescending at all. That's not what I mean. I mean to tell you that you've accomplished something great. That's what I mean to say. You have stayed together. You've been loyal. You've been faithful. And that's what God is looking for in this hour. And He's looking for people that will stand up and preach the Word of God everywhere they go. Not just come to church and go home and tuck it in your pocket for the rest of the week. He's looking for people that will say yes to God. Yes to whatever You ask me to do, even if it means to leave my job. Even if it means to do something I absolutely do not want to do. Like when He called Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go there, but guess what? That was the purpose. But can I tell you, if you'll say yes to God and you'll contend for His purpose, He will bless you beyond reason. He will bless you with the passion to bring the fire of God that He's put in you and just for you. Church was not designed to be a padded place. It's a training camp. And it's a place where you come and you worship and we fellowship together. And then we go out and release the kingdom of God. Amen. We are coming into an hour where God is calling His people to a place of holiness. And He's calling out the true sons and daughters. All creation groans for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Amen? That is more than just saying, "I believe in Jesus, come and save me," and then go live your life. I'm not going to preach about that, but I wonder sometimes. I wonder sometimes about that. when you don't see any change in someone's life when they get saved. I can tell you there's a fire of God that He wants to impart, but you got to want it. And I won't ever stop banging the wall on this, because I know that the enemy does not want you to step into that place of power. He wants you to stay in religion. And he was sick and tired of Pharaoh oppressing his people and keeping them in bondage. And he said, I've heard the cries of my people. And the Lord said to me about 6 years ago, about this very passage, that I'm delivering them with an outstretched arm and great judgments. And he was talking about right here. And I'm talking about in the land, not necessarily just this church. But there are things and powers at work here that have been opened many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago. Just like in the New Testament, when Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There was a demonic portal that was in Caesarea of Philippi that was opened up and made into a shrine. And they worshipped the gods of everything that you could think of. When there's alignment on the earth with evil things, it opens a portal. There's one in Arizona. Read about it. And I'm telling you, the seriousness of going deeper into God is where we're at right now. And He's asking you to go deeper, just like He did Moses, because He wants to release the reward. He wants to release the kingdom. See, all the souls that come into heaven are a reward for what Jesus did on the earth, and He shed His blood. And we are called to be an army. Patriotic. What are you loyal to? There are times coming that we will need to be loyal to the Lord. We will need to be loyal to the truth and not compromise. This is a word for right now for the church. And I just saw 2/3 of the Native American kids her age, respond to that. People that have nothing, no hope, but they're reaching out for something beyond them. In Isaiah chapter 11, it says that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus. Those are the seven spirits of God. Those things I just listed there. It's the fullness of everything that Christ paid for you to have. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. It's yours to have. But will you step out in faith and will you do it? See, God wants to break every yoke over your life. I'm going to close with these thoughts, because I'm not really sure yet what God wants to do, but this is what I know. I know that some have been circling the mountain with the same old thing. See, God's given you a rod. He's given you the staff of power. It's Jesus Christ. Don and I just want to pray for you this morning. The worship team, you can come back up. if you would, please.